Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here in the studio with the man, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
And of course, through modern technology, we have the local hero of the world with us, the man who fights fires and also is a good father. What can we say? He's going to be en route from his kids' game. Nonetheless, he can make it in. He can make it happen. He'll be shortly, of course. Chris Rankin on the phone now will be with us in studio shortly. Chris, this whole revolution of traveling in action because technology, do you feel different at all?
Yeah, I feel different, especially with this weather that's going on right now, too. I mean, we got a little monsoon came through here a second ago, so it's going to be a little interesting.
You're one of those weather radio guys, huh? See, I never did that. Actually, in living in Florida, what gets old really fast is not only people whining about rain, but then you got these northerners that call up and spend the first 10 minutes talking about how cold it is up north. I live in Florida, so I'm going to put that under you problem. No, that's terrible. Oh, that's terrible.
Well, you'll hear people around here complain about how hot it is coming up in the next few months. Oh, it's so hot I wish it was colder. Yeah, you guys are the same people when it was cold saying you were freezing and you wish it was warmer.
I don't know. Hey, when it comes, you know what? It's always hotter when I enter the room. That's all I know. Badoops. Thank you. Anyways, we're bringing it to you here on NGSC Sports via NGSCSports.com. You can, of course, hear us on iHeart, Spreaker. If we're not on iTunes, we will be shortly. Well, I know the Student of the Game's on iTunes. Just a whole lot of various surfaces and mediums through which you can hear what we're throwing down here. Good times all the way around. Website, of course, is NGSCSports.com. If you don't know, you don't need to ask anybody. I just told you. But something I want to get out of here really quick, guys. I saw a headline that said that in 2015, all television blackouts for the NFL are to be suspended.
I like it a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
Tell the people why you like it a lot, Weasel.
There's a lot of times that you go to like a sports bar or something like that, or you're sitting home. And you want to watch the game, but you can't.
Yeah?
Because it's blacked out. Even like at the sports bars, it's the same thing. They can't show the game because it's blacked out, correct?
I believe, depending on the service they're subscribed to, whatever service your local watering hole is subscribed to, I think that's accurate, yeah.
I think it's kind of like you're kind of punishing the fans of that area for not going to the game, but you're also punishing people farther away, too.
Mm-hmm.
So...
You know what? On the surface, Weasel, I agree with you. However, living where we live in Central Florida, what that means is now when I normally would have watched a featured game or a quote-unquote good game, now I'm stuck either watching the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Tampa Bay Bucks, where before, blackouts would have saved me from dealing with this damnation. This is not a good thing for us. Now, granted, I mean, for actual Bucks fans, if you exist, that's fine. Dolphins fans who, aren't living in the past four decades, four decades, it's coming up on four and a half, but I digress. Since they've seen any success, maybe they have an issue with it if they're going to miss the Dolphins game. Jaguars fans have a little bit to be excited about. That team's looking better. We're not focusing them on this week. We'll be focusing on the West in the later half of the show, but overall, not a good thing. From where I sit. But then again, that's a regional problem. I don't know. See, Chris, in your case, you'll have to be stuck watching the Jaguars instead of the Jets. Oh, wait, that's a lose-lose for you, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that was the thing. It's a regional blackout, so you get blacked out here, but then you can still see the crappy game from somewhere else. So, the Oakland Raiders, their game will get blacked out. They'll be forced to watch like the Bucks or something, because it's not blacked out out there.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
So you can't even watch your team. You got to watch a crappier team than next team. So, I still get to watch the Jets games out here because since we're not regional blackout up there, they still show it down here.
Huh. Okay. That makes sense. That's a different spin. I mean, as far as the needs of the many, Chris is correct. But that doesn't change my answer. I don't want to be stuck watching Jaguar games unless they're on Thursday or Monday night. And even then I can say, I have to go to work next day and use it as an excuse to go to sleep. So I don't know. I hear where you're coming from the surface, Weasel definitely had the correct answer up front, but there's me taking it all real world on you.
I'm just saying, look, sometimes this is a cynical show. That's just what happens.
Mainly, I'm not talking about it like your singing home type thing, mm-hmm. like just you or, you know, with some friends or something. I'm talking about when you get to the sports bars.
You mean the way we watch the game?
Yeah, exactly.
Over at the local, in our case, the Ale House. They're not paying us, but they're awesome, whatever. We've been doing that for years now. I mean, you know, you go there, you're buying food and doing all that. You have TV upon TV everywhere. And when the games start for the first 5 minutes, you see that this game is blacked out. Please call blah, blah, blah for your regional provider. No. And so eventually they change it to a different football game. But again, living in Central Florida, all that'll mean is it's another TV with the Dolphins on it. Again, I'm not a Dolphin hater, but can we get something that's, you know, a little less mediocre?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. I'm sure Dolphins fans are saying the same thing. Maybe that's why they're thinking of trying to throw $100 million at Tannehill coming up. I don't know. I don't know that that'll solve the problem either, but that's a different topic. You know, speaking of trying to solve problems of mediocre, the meetings for the ownership are taking place this week. Over the weekend, we had the veteran combine. Weasel shed a tear when he found out that Tim Tebow was not invited to participate.
The whole thing about that.
let me tell you about that. Go ahead, Weasel. Drop it for
me. Right at the moment for, you know, the veteran combine, you have the big names like Felix Jones, Brady Quinn, former first-round draft pick, number 22 overall by the Browns. They've most likely, they'll grab another quarterback at number 22, Marcus Mariota.
Wow.
But you got, let's see, Michael Bush, kind of slow speed-wise. You got Tyler Wilson. I don't know who that is. Adam Carriker, that's one of them. The guy's, you know, pretty strong guy. And then the thing about that is that if you add a guy like Tim Tebow, the media would be swarming all over it. And if you're the NFL, all these other names that no one's looking up right now, because NFL combine is like, people are so like, so what? The thing about Tebow, though, is that you either love him or you hate him. And the thing is both those groups are going to watch it to see what happens. So
when you say media attention, does that include you when you go Tebow?
Hey,
I'm just asking.
I'm telling you, he's very popular, but it's just not extend him a invitation. It's like, really, guys?
Yeah,
he's supposedly been working with Brady's, I guess, personal coach or something on his throne.
Tom
for,
Brady.
Like,
you can't
Tom
say
Brady's.
Brady because you just said Brady Quinn. You didn't mean Brady Quinn. You meant a good quarterback. You meant Tom Brady. There's a
exactly.
difference there. I think
there's a little difference,
a little bit, slightly,
but
depending on who you ask.
It's one of those things that, you know, the guy supposedly worked hard, but. And you don't even invite him, so whatever.
I don't know. Anything to put a bow on the veteran combine, Chief? Chris? Friends?
Well, I'll try to do like a little quick run through.
A little quick run through.
A little quick run through.
Yeah. With the combine, I thought it was a good idea when they had it. Just get something, you know, that dead space between. You know, all the pro days at college that are going on right now, too, and then before the draft. You know, get some of these other players. I mean, I know I heard Maurice Jones-Drew and Reggie Bush. You know, just get them out there to see what they can still do later on in their lives. But, Tim Tebow, everyone's giving up on that because teams wanted to kind of convert him over to tight end. He doesn't want to do that. He's always stuck on the quarterback thing. So I think that's what teams kind of shied away from it, and that's why they don't want to do with it. Just, you know, come play the tight end position. See if you like it. You know, maybe throw like a package or two in him with him at quarterback then. But
I don't know. Let the kid work out. It couldn't hurt anything. I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but yeah, let the kid work out. What's it gonna do? You know, I don't know. Anyways, so yeah, Weasel, what you got? See, he's looking intently at a piece of paper. He's about to throw it down.
A little bit of... I'll try to make a little run through for this.
Yeah, make it quick.
So you got 27-year-old Felix Jones.
Former Cowboy. Correct.
And he's been, you know, trying to stay away, staying with some positive people and working out. And so he's someone that, you know, people will be looking at. Got Michael Sam. He's going for defensive end, of course, and... And this is his second year trying to get in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a team will pick him up, at least on a practice squad. But right now, I don't think he was, from what I've read, he wasn't that very like impressive in his workouts.
It's still the same problem that he's too small to be a good DN and too slow to be a good linebacker as a tweener. It's the same evaluation you get.
And good old Michael Bush. This one, he went to, he was with the Bears and he was with the Raiders, I believe.
Very good. Reverse order, but close enough.
4.91. Yeah, that number is his. Is 40 time.
Oh dear.
And
so that's a shuttle time, right? No.
And I quote from Michael Bush, "You gotta be blank. You gotta be bleep me." 4.91. There you go. There you go. There goes my career. It hurts. It hurts.
How is it that Bill Paxton puts it? It's game over, man.
Pretty
it's
much.
Game over.
So
if I had a soundboard handy right now, oh wait, I do. That if I had the recording handy, I would totally have a Bill Paxton record a year. But I digress.
Also got Brady Quinn. He wants to come back, make a comeback. Hey, I could be like Josh McCown.
Hold on, stop.
What?
If you aspire to be Josh McCown, who cares who you are?
Yeah.
I'm just, if that is your pinnacle is to be Josh McCown, you are a waste.
I think
of
it's
kind of
like
spot.
He wants to. Follow like a, maybe a close path or something.
I don't know, Chris. What do you got?
Come no, I'm like come on, really? At least he's speaking realistically. It's not like he's gonna like throw it out there. Like, yeah, I want to be like Peyton Manning. Everyone wants to be like Peyton Manning, or you know. But at least he's realistic. He wants to, you know, kind of have a comeback like Josh McCown did. Not like he's saying, you know, they're like, yeah, right. Yeah, you're gonna become Peyton Manning or something like that. You can't even be telling me Eli Manning.
Well, you went to the, yeah, you went to the other extreme there. I'm not taking it that far, but I mean, damn
so,
it.
So at least you're speaking realistically. Yeah, I can be that, you know? Otherwise, I mean, he's almost in the same page as like Ryan Leaf conversation right now. So, I mean,
wow.
He's only moving on the way up.
I mean, he can at least say I can be the next Jay Cutler or something. That would too soon for the Jay Cutler jokes?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, but the thing with Tom with Jay Cutler is that he's been starting ever since Josh McCown wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's a whole other topic too. But yeah. Anyways, Weasel, wrap it up.
Okay. There was there's a quarterback Tyler Wilson who's I mean he's getting some teams' attention. So.
Okay.
That's one of them. Jamal Anderson, former
defensive end,
and a top 10 pick by. The Falcons at the time.
Correct.
Messed up his knee, and right now he's like, I'm coming back.
I mean,
so Adam Carriker, he's like a defensive end, and pretty much for him, he was the only one that did bench presses, and I think he wanted to because he was able to bench 225 pounds 40 times.
40 times.
Eric Flowers in the, and for the draft combine, he had 37. He had the most in the NFL combine for
2014.
Yeah. For no, this year. Eric Flowers
from this year. Did happen this year.
He had 37 reps.
Beg your pardon.
So
I keep thinking like the draft hasn't happened yet, but no, I'm not. Yeah, there you go.
So and the last one, Nathan Slaughter. He's a wide receiver, and he was signed by the Cardinals. So
okay, so I mean, look, I mean that's the goal of it. Dreams really can come true in the veteran combine, and Nathan Slaughter is your guy here in this case. Also, another interesting concept I kind of thought of was Michael LeShore, former Lions running back. He made a very interesting appearance and didn't do too bad either. So that'll be interesting. So Chris was going to be smooth and try to sneak into the studio here, but forgot to turn his phone off. So if you heard me talking twice, it's his fault.
No,
anyway.
I did turn it off. It's just my phone.
It just didn't listen.
It just didn't listen to me.
You're a dirty liar, phone. No, anyways. But so, I mean, yeah. Anyways, enough about that. There you go. That's the novel experiment the NFL is trying now. Speaking of novel experiments. See, good transition there, nonetheless. Speaking of novel experiments, the owners are meeting here, and it's about the time they start talking about potential rule changes at this point. Now, a lot of them are connected to challenges and things like that. There are some of them that are repetitive, some of them that aren't. I took a few that I thought were the most interesting or the most ridiculous, depending on which one's in question. And it's not just rule changes for reviews, but, I mean, call reviews, replay. It was obviously a hot topic yet again because that's still something that they change and evolve. to the situation. And the first thing I want to point out is something that one of the teams is proposing, that a timeout be called for a challenge instead of the throwing of the red flag. Okay, already up front, I don't like it. And here's why. Because all it takes is one ref to screw it up, and some team's going to lose a timeout when they shouldn't have, and all hell is going to break loose. I mean, look, the flag has now become kind of an icon of the replay. You know, fun fact, when the flag was first given to the coaches, it was to be a backup, like a situation where first you were supposed to alert the official, and if you couldn't get to him or whatever time is running out, you pull this thing out and you fling it as just an emergency recourse. Well, then it started just getting used on a regular basis. I don't know. So I think the flag needs to stay. What say you guys?
Well, I think you should kind of like maybe rename the flag.
The challenge flag?
The timeout challenge flag. Because if you throw the flag, essentially you're taking a timeout. Now, if it's a legit thing that you... If you win the challenge, that timeout comes back to you. It's just that whenever there's a challenge, you don't really think timeout. You're like, oh, they're going to lose one. But what is the thing that you're doing right now? So I kind of like if they did that. But you still have to throw a flag. But otherwise, I think just taking a timeout, that can cause, I would think, confusion. So
Weasel's pro flag. What can we say? There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, with the timeout and everything, they do it in college. They call a timeout first, usually coaches, because they don't have a challenge flag in college.
Well, right.
They call timeouts, and then they go talk to the officials, say, hey, I want to challenge that or whatever. With this, you know, you get some of those coaches that throw the challenge flag. You know they're going to lose. You can see on replay and everything. This gives them maybe an opportunity that they can try to slow it down. They can call a timeout, but then still not waste their challenge, but they'll waste a timeout. You know what I'm saying? Still. It gives them another chance that someone else look at it and say, no, it's good. We're good on the challenge, but we just wasted a timeout. So it kind of wastes a timeout, and it's not really a challenge also. So, but if that's the case, gives their team a little bit, you know, their coaches a little more time.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong on that. But I can guarantee you they're not going to think about it that hard. Again, you're not wrong, Chris. You aren't the problem. They just aren't going to look that closely. And you're right. It could be something that could be made as a cheaper sort of quick advantage kind of thing, kind of like calling for a measurement. But at day's end, yeah,
it could be like a, for instance, a questionable catch across the middle for like a 40-yard gain or whatever. Puts him in field goal range at the last.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Did he roll 30 times and then end up out of bounds for a lack of possession?
But I'm saying, you know, either they called it a catch. Could have been that he trapped the ball.
Right.
Called it a catch. Teams hurrying up there to go spike the ball or whatever.
Right.
Because, you know, it's the last few minutes of the game. Defense can come up and challenge the play. You know, they call a timeout instead so they can look at it. Because if they thought, you know, their coach is like, hey, they trapped it, they can call a timeout, look at it. I mean, you're helping the other team to call a timeout instead of spiking the ball, but... call the timeout and look at it first, then you throw the flag.
I'm going to label this under non-issue. I hear where you're going. I just don't think it's that big a factor. I'm not saying that there aren't opportunities. Like, you know, somebody actually once came up with an example of a timely interception, for example, to replace a punt, for example. You know, that kind of thing. Okay, you can sell me on that. And just like there would be situations where a team could take advantage of throwing a red flag instead of a timeout, that's fine. But that's so situational. If a coach is good enough to quote unquote break the system like that, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. So there's also talk of, and these are two things I'm going to combine here that I think both can't happen but are interesting concepts. And that's challenging in the final. Just being allowed to challenge in the final 2 minutes and in overtime, which you cannot do today, or personal fouls being reviewable. I think both of those are mistakes, just because it introduces a whole set of problems with teams having the power to challenge those plays. It doesn't make sense to me. First of all, look, there's a way to stop the game, and if you don't have faith in the officials like I don't, I get why you'd want to do this. But by the same token, I think challenges are something meant to make what would be an otherwise unmentionable moment now important as it should have been. Does it make sense? So, as for personal fouls being reviewed, hell. I mean,
It's not like they're going to review it and then take away the 15-yard penalty, are they?
It's not actually just personal fouls. All penalties. Not even just personal fouls.
Other people did put in all penalties. I didn't put that on the board because we talked about that before, but there's some that you just can't review. You can't do it.
Go back 2 years ago with the hit from the Niners on the Saints game that changed the outcome of the playoff picture.
And it never would have been overturned, though, Chris. That's what I'm telling you.
No, I think it would have.
Really?
It would have been overturned because he did not hit him in the head because it was one of the helmet shots. If you would have gotten the challenge, that's one reason why they wanted to throw this in here, was all the times they call that you hit the quarterback in the head. It's the penalty really call because it's just a personal foul. So that's what this is. I mean, the Lions are the ones that proposed this one to the league because they had a few of them during the league on it.
No, Weasel.
One thing about helmet-to-helmet hits is that when they show replays, usually they show it over and over, it's in slow motion. And now you have these refs that are out there, and the thing is it's a split second.
A lot of times they're guessing.
When they make that hit,
yeah.
The thing is it's a split-second decision that they have to make, and I think what has happened is that it went in doubt, call it. That's why I think they're doing it.
And that's also an element to make the game safer, too. So they err on the side of penalizing in order to keep people from attempting those hits at all, right? Just, you know, for example, the other day, John Lynch, a player I love who was a Hall of Fame finalist this year, they replayed a lot of his hits, and I'm thinking, a lot of those would have been illegal now. But yeah, I say all that to say taking... You can't make the helmet-to-helmet concept reviewable in my mind because of that, because the leaning is towards being cautious. Now, as a football fan, it makes a lot of sense. But if the prevailing thing that the NFL is trying to do is make this a safety measure, they can't make it reviewable because it still gives those players who are too aggressive, let's say the Vernon Goldson, or not Vernon, I'm sorry.
Deshaun Goldson.
Yeah, it is Deshaun Goldson. Yeah, that's right. So you're saying there's a chance is a vibe that can't exist in this case if it's really leaning towards safety. Does it make sense? So I don't know. That's where I come out on it. Football wise, you're right, Weasel. There's no turning that around. But now that the player safety thing's a factor, the way that it is, you can't really do.
Take it out of the team's hands and put the challenges to the officials.
Well,
hey, we want to make sure we get this call right. We're challenging our own call here on the field. We're going to make sure we got this one right.
In other words, make it more like the college system.
Yeah, a little bit, right.
Which we've said on the show is superior.
Right. You have someone else that's already watching all these plays and everything like that. Yeah. They're calling it down. It takes it out of the hands of everyone.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, no, it's not.
I like that.
Then you take it out of the hands of the team, and then that's not even with the player either, because then even if they're still going with safety with the player, he's still like, well, they might not challenge, they might not overturn it,
and then,
the safety aspect.
And then the officials will be more confident doing what they're doing, which will lend themselves to fewer mistakes. I like that. So we're back to the same premise, though, however, do it the college way. They got it right. Keep the red flags, but have a different official viewing the play. So, yeah, there you go. Now, for the most ridiculous,
I was just saying we should just go to this one right here because you were just talking about college, how kind of college has.
Oh, expanding
this one.
You want to segue to the playoffs?
Like that one. But I actually read the wrong. I was thinking of overtime, the challenge, the one of the rules that they went with.
Okay,
the overtime.
Well, and yeah, we also mentioned that in this lumping too. So right, the whole thing about challenges and overtime in the final minutes, that means that policy is still exactly the same, then, right?
Right, yeah, it all comes from the booth, right. No, I was talking about the overtime, the expansion of the overtime. I was looking at the board.
Okay, well, the expansion of the overtime is that both teams get the ball. That is just a straight up, each team gets a possession.
Regardless
of touchdown.
Right.
No, I don't like that. Stop somebody, bleepers.
No, I actually like it. It's not the college way of from the 25-yard line.
That's right out. That
right.
Can't happen.
That won't happen. You just go through team coin toss. Team comes down, scores a touchdown, you got to match it. You got to play football. If the other team stops you, they win. If they don't stop, you keep going.
It's like you'll have, I think what happens is you have this high-powered offense or someone.
Right.
High-powered offense, and they lose the toss. The other team gets the ball. They score a touchdown, and then game over. It's like, I kind of like it for just make sure.
Hey, that's on the front office. Get a damn good defense. That's why the Colts can't go anywhere, man. What? I don't know who's see, that's the thing. The Colts only seem to be getting into those situations with the Titans in the past, but they're so bad now they're not even relevant. So I mean, I don't know.
It's still more. It would be more football, so we'd all win on this aspect too.
See, when you put it that way,
yeah. I mean, there's not really many overtime games as it is anyway.
You give me the Buffalo. Well, there was a lot of them last year. There was a lot of them last year. I know the first, like, what was it? The first in the, like, the first three weeks, there was like six of them or something stupid. I mean, look, you're giving me the Buffalo Wild Wings defense, and I can't front on that. It's the sprinklers popping. We're going into overtime. I can't front on that. See, you came at me with the there's more football, so everybody wins. Because, I mean, look, let's call it what it is. Do you have any idea? There's a good thing and a bad thing to there being no football right now. A, I'm spending a lot of time with my daughter. That's great. Bad thing is, I've watched more TV than I care to like, I'm watching The Wire because I hadn't got around to it when it came out 10 years ago. And in the middle of the show, they had to explain what a text message was. That's how you know this show is old, if they had to explain what a bleeping text message is. I'm not making this up. And like they take this PDA off this guy. It's like as fat as like Chris's phone is now, except thicker. So I mean, that's like a Windows phone now. Is this PDA? Oh, it has a stylus and can text message. Now the guy was Greek, so it was in Greek letters and whatever. That's not important. But yeah. So here's today's lesson, kids. If you're watching a show that has to explain what a text message is, or an older technology, it's an old show. If they up in here and saying, this cutting-edge technology that is the 8-track, forget about it. You're done. Might as well get out an abacus. I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't know. That I blame you for bringing up the lack of football, Chris. That's your Anyways, you want to know who I blame for this next thing? The Colts. Okay. I'm going to say my piece, and if any of you think this is cool, fine. Tell me how. I'd be shocked if you felt this way. Chris is smiling. I might be in trouble here. But So you get a touchdown, and you celebrate. It's great. Wait, we want to go for two. After Weasel flips the god-bleeping-dang table over because you went for two at the wrong time, after he emails your family hate mail because you went for two at the... No, Weasel wouldn't email you hate mail. He would just say funny things about you on Twitter. then if you make it going for two, you can make it a 9-point play if you make a 50-yard field goal. First of all, I don't care. Why are the Colts bringing this up? Adam Vinatieri hasn't been able to regularly make a 50-yard field goal in how many years? I'm just saying. That's right. That's some Vinatieri schmack. What are you going to do? Deal with it. Overrated. That's right. I said it.
Colts are looking to draft a kicker in the fourth round. if this rule passes. Colts number one pick is kicker Adam.
Well, you know, they got to compete with the rest of the division. I believe it was the Jags that had a punter in the third round a few years back, right? I don't know.
Anyways, yes, it was.
That aside, so does anybody give any love to the 9-point play? Because I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's terrible.
All right, TRBL. You're down by eight. You're down by eight with less than a minute left. You go for two. You tie the game.
Even like where this is going already.
All right. So you can go for the win with the extra point, but also not every team has, what is it, Bostic, that linebacker from the Packers?
No, stop.
Not every opponent has him on the other side, so you can get the onside kick. So
Packers don't have him anymore.
But yeah.
too soon?
Yeah. The next season has to start before it's too soon.
So to get the 9-point play, they could win. But yeah, it's a stupid rule.
Actually, seriously.
It goes to the creative. It is very creative, but...
it's also but dumb.
I mean, a lot of times, you are down by nine. You have to, like... kick the extra point, then you got to do an onside kick. This is the culture thinking, let's just get away from the onside kick. We can't recover an onside kick with Vinatieri kicking.
Oh, boy.
We can't hit a 50-yarder. I think we have a better chance of making a 50-yarder than an onside kick.
Well, I don't know. With Vinatieri's onside kick, it's less than 50 yards. He might have a better chance. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. Anyway, so, I mean, but that's the point you bring up. In the past, you're up by 8, and the worst you could, you're still in the game. You're up by 9. You're ready to start up the bus. Now, where, how much would it suck if this actually passes, which it won't? You're that first team that's winning by 8, and you lose because of this garbage.
Yeah, that would stink.
How much effigy would the world be in the eyes of the football gods, man? No,
it's terrible.
It wouldn't even matter. It wouldn't even matter if that team won the Super Bowl that year. Also, they were the first one to lose this. Everyone would remember them.
Or what about this? What about that decides in some way, shape, form, or fashion that a team gets to the Super Bowl? It'd be worse than the Duck Rule. Well, I don't know about that. But it would be pretty bleeping bad. I don't know. So, yeah. 9-point play sucks. Speaking of Vinatieri, something else he struggled with lately is anything involving an experiment with a PAT. You don't agree? Just watch his past Pro Bowl. The rule change has been suggested that they kick PATs from the 15-yard line permanently. They kind of played with this in the offseason. The preseason. They played with it in the Pro Bowl and also narrowed the uprights. I'm for it, personally. You know, it doesn't bother me any. If you want to make it a little bit less compelling or a little bit more compelling TV and a little less automatic, I'm for that. I don't know where you guys come out.
It's just you're, no matter what, if you want to go for it or kick the extra point, you're at the 2-yard line, right? So,
No, they're saying if you go for two.
I'm talking currently.
Oh, currently, yes. You're at the 2-yard line, 2.5-yard line.
Right.
So if you want to go for two, you have to then go at the 2-yard line?
Correct. Yes, it's still at the 2 if you're going for two.
So,
and then the extra point would be from 15.
Yeah, that's like the reason I don't like that is that you're taking away the guesswork of like doing a fake, fake 2-point, like for a.
You are?
If you're at the 15-yard line and you go for it, like, you know, to catch them off guard, it's just that.
You mean like the fake extra point?
Well, like, yeah, like a fake extra point. It's just I don't.
How often does NFL do?
No. Let me tell you why dude's pissed about that. Because if you ever played Madden with this loser, okay, he loves doing the fake field goal on every.
It takes away the guessery.
I don't even set up a field goal team out. I just go for two. You know, stop me. Go ahead.
And that's what they're trying to move towards. You know. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so you go for two, but you actually kick it to go for the field goal and get 3 points instead. There's your 9-point.
Hey. What if they have a just make the goalpost moving and like back and forth and like wider and smaller?
Oh wow!
I had this
kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
It's kind of like
go back and forth, get bigger and smaller, and everything like that.
If you go to like to an arcade place and you have the basketball hoop, that when you're shooting, it just sits there and then it starts going back and forth.
It goes forward, back, like, turns, rotates left to right. Yeah.
You know, stuff.
I find it odd that this show is degenerated to arcade talk, but I got to be perfectly honest. The moving goalpost does compel me. I'm not going to lie to you. Actually, I'm so hyped up about the goalpost moving. I'm going to use a particular kind of music for the break now here. We'll jump right into it. We got one more rule thing. We'll talk about it, but we'll hit it on the other side of the break. But here's how stoked I am about the moving goalpost. So as we were talking about on the break, we got a buddy, pneumatic goalposts. Actually, you know what? That would be a hell of a band name. Ladies and gentlemen, pneumatic goalpost.
Are you ready to rock?
Yeah, I don't.
No, I'm sorry. It'll be Weasel's contest. Let's make some noise.
I'm going to grab that on Twitter now.
It'd actually be hydraulic, not pneumatic, though. Pneumatic would be air.
Yeah,
loud.
But hydraulic goalpost is not a good band name.
No, it isn't.
Pneumatic goalpost. I don't even know what
but
pneumatic
hydraulic
means.
Uprights is better, though.
Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen. And now, headlighting for pneumatic goalposts. Hydraulic uprights. That just sounds dirty, too, while you're at it. I like that. Got that little extra innuendo yes. going on. Anyways. So, speaking of innuendo, the NFL is always intimating and implying that they're going to expand the playoff format. You know, I'm just going to go over it one more time. I have been a proponent of leaving the playoffs just the way you are. Right? There you go. That's a hit by pneumatic goalpost. But, God, I hope not. But when expanding the playoffs, what happens is you've now made it so more Week 17s won't matter. And you've only increased the chances for a garbage playoff team to make the cut. I mean, we've had too many losing playoff teams in my world anyway. And now two of them have won playoff games, for crap's sake, which I think is just trash in itself. The NFL network's having a thing for the greatest games, and one of the candidates is this freaking thing where the Seahawks dumped the Saints. I think it was 2007. Just absolutely. You guys may be cool with that. I thought it was blasphemy. I'm just saying. It's a me problem, fine. But anyways, I don't know. Playoff expansion, Chris.
Yeah, I don't. They were talking about is expanding two teams, one from each conference. So they're only going one other team, so there's only like number one seed we get a bye then.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No, it isn't. It's fine. It's fine the way it is. The only way, if they want to tweak it a little better, is to almost dump the divisions and just go conferences, and then you can just rank by conference, because then you won't get these 7 and 8 teams making the playoffs when you have like an 11 and 5 team lose. You know.
So dump the divisions as far as division winners being guaranteed a spot, and just make it by rank within the conference, but still have the divisions dictate the schedule. Because as far as the schedule goes, I like the divisions as they stand. A lot of rivalries. They're all playing twice a year. Look, dudes, bottom line, you're getting, for example, Bears-Packers twice a year. That's the way it should be. Right?
Right.
I don't know. Weasel.
Yeah, just a quick little thing. I'm reading an article here. So by adding two playoff games, the league would rake in an estimated $280 million more in annual television revenue, according to John Varum, a sports columnist at Vanderbilt University, and this is a article. It's in the Post Gazette. It's for Pittsburgh. So,
which basically what you just said means one day I'm just going to be screwed. This is going to happen.
Money.
Well, but I mean that's a temporary grab too. Fewer people take interest. Eventually, that just becomes a joke. I mean, you know, it would be kind of like baseball and its 100. No, I'm not making fun of baseball because it's a wimpy game. I mean, 162 games, and then they added a playoff to get into the playoffs. To get what? No. Yeah, just stop it. Stop it. You know, I don't know. The television revenue, that aspect of it is what makes it so certain. But as far as people actually attending these games or caring about them or watching them, you're not going to get a good number for them. But that's the thing, is 60% of a game's quote-unquote rating in the NFL is better than a lot at 200% for other competing television programs. Anyways, enough about that. I haven't had an opportunity to get this music going in a while in the background, but it's time. Oh, yeah. Let's do a little team needs. Starting out at West this week as we go up to the NFL draft. Oh, look, I don't waste your time trying to pretend I know who is what about college players in the NFL draft. I just know which teams need what, and so too do my friends. We'll have more draft experts as we get closer to the event itself at the end of next month. But in the meantime, if you're in the AFC West and you're the San Diego Chargers, Chris, what do you need?
Well, right now they need a running back because was it Ryan Matthews left? Right, he's an Eagle now.
Correct.
So they need a running back. I think they're set at receivers. Probably use another tight end, as Antonio Gates is getting up there in age.
Yeah.
But mostly, I'd say offensive line and Their defense improved. Last year was a lot. It was like 10 times better than it was in 2013. So, I mean, they made strides over there. So, I would say, I'd say running back and probably offensive line is what they need.
You know, I agree with you with receiver because they have both Stevie Johnson and Jacoby Jones now, in addition to Keenan Allen already, who's awesome. So I think you're right at receiver. Tight end, yeah. If they supplemented that, that'd be fine. I wouldn't call it a need today. It would be bottom of the thing. The main things I have, I'm with you, O-line. Their defense has improved, but their defensive line on the whole still needs some work. I like their DNs and their outside linebackers. Inside, the interior of the D-line, the inside linebackers, they need work. When Manti Te'o is on your squad, you have a problem. And as kind of an ancillary need, I would throw in, they might need to think about quarterback soon because Phillip Rivers is coming up on his contract. Not exactly a spring chicken, but I don't know. They'll be in a position to where they may need to replace him sooner than later, whether it be due to money or father time winning the day. Anything to add, Weasel?
Not good.
All right,
I agree.
Sweet. Let's wrap it and go over to the next piece, who are the Oakland Raiders. Chris, what do you got?
Need a whole new team. They drafted Derek Carr last year, so, you know, he showed promise last year as a quarterback. They need probably some help with running back. Right now they have Latavius Murray, who's an ex-UCF Knight. You know, he's coming in his third year. He had a couple games, good games last year. They're talking about getting his doing the offense around him because they did let go of McFadden and
right.
Jones-Drew. So,
what about Trent Richardson, baby? Woo!
Yeah, yeah, they also got Roy Helu. Also, they signed up.
I like
so.
That pickup too, Weasel.
Ooh, I looked this up to make sure, but I heard that Trent Richardson got like $3.9 million for the contract.
Look, I don't know that it's quite as bad as Charles Clay getting paid what he got paid by the Bills in the East, but I would go ahead and say that's bad. Okay, that's pretty bad. Okay. And here's something funny about it too, is when you're looking at a team and they filled that position with players and you're still spotted as a need, that is something you need to definitely talk about. In the case of the Raiders, yeah, I know that they have is it DJ Hayden that they have? Their big corner? Well, at any rate, I could look that up, but at any rate, what I'm trying to get to is this, guys. They got Nate Allen as a safety. They got Dockery James as a defensive back listed here. And I'm still putting the secondary as a need. Actually, pretty much every position for the Raiders, except for linebacker or DN, I have listed as a need on defense. For me, it's O-line and wide receiver for the rest. I don't know if where you're at with the Raiders on offense, Chris, but the running back spot with Helu, with Murray, looks to be a pretty good committee, and if you have Richardson as a third option, okay, fine, I can live with that. A little expensive for a third option, as Weasel pointed out, but that is what it is. And of course, they need O-line. Derek Carr, if he is the answer, needs better protection. I think I can leave it at that, right?
Yeah, man, if he gets hurt, you know who his backup is, right?
Matt McGloin? Oh, no way. Christian Pine.
Yes.
I knew the one you were looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
So, we know how you feel about that, right?
They also need a receiver really bad.
Yeah, I definitely have receiver there.
There's a couple of them in there that are, I think there's like 2 to 3 wide receivers that are going to go early. So, it's Cooper and, what's the other guy? Cooper and White, I believe.
Inside information, Weasel, seeing really. Them picking high in the draft at the wide receiver spot. No, you're right, it's not really. It's pretty common knowledge, actually. Because, I mean, look. First round is going to be Jameis or Mariota, probably Jameis if you believe all the hype. Second round, already accounted for a quarterback because it's the Jags. They're not getting rid of Bortles yet. Third round, the Raiders are not going to be getting rid of Carr yet. It just doesn't make sense to do that. You get that receiver spot. I agree with you, Weasel. Hopefully there's somebody worth that high a pick. Next on the list, the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, Who here had wide receiver as their top need?
Yeah.
Well, they,
yeah.
Even with last season, Dwayne Bowe played the full season, right?
I believe he did.
And I was 1 yard away from scoring the only touchdown by a wide receiver, and he fumbled it. But the thing is that, he's gone. He went to where?
The Browns.
He went to the Browns?
Yes, he's with the Browns.
So,
No, he didn't play the whole season last year because I think he's suspended.
Oh, suspension? Okay. Well, at any rate, not like it mattered.
Well, he's gone.
Yeah, he gone. So, if you're a unit, if you play offense and you're on the skill position and your unit doesn't score a single bleeping touchdown, you suck. Bottom line, there's no middle ground. You can't even claim potential in saying that you suck right now. You're just bad.
It's just 16 games. That was for you, Chris. It's terrible.
TRBL, terrible.
Hey, they signed Jeremy Maclin.
They did sign Jeremy Maclin, and like I said, Chris, if you fill a need with a player and it's still a need, you're messing it up. Jeremy Maclin is one dude, I'm just trying to say.
Jeremy Macklin's a good deep ball threat, and Alex Smith can't throw that far.
Oof.
He's
king of the checkdown, man.
I mean, look, I'm not going to argue with it because I made the video. I watched it the other day. It's actually still pretty relevant. But, it's still a need. Macklin's a start. And I'll leave it at that. I also have offensive line and defensive backs for the Chiefs. Also quarterback as a distant need as well, because on top of being the king of the checkdown, Alex Smith will not last forever. All that other stuff. So I don't know. Next up, the Broncos, champions of the division last year. Taken out in, was it? No, it wasn't conference championship Sunday. It was the divisional round. Peyton Manning coming back by all accounts. What do the Broncos need, Chris?
They need offensive line to protect them a little bit. They lost Candy, right? Their offensive tackle.
Franklin.
Franklin? Is it?
Well, Franklin.
Right. They also need some defensive front, too. And they lost Terrence Knighton. Lost their tight end, Julius Thomas.
Yeah, but Terrence Knighton, he's a big deal.
So, they did get Owen Daniels coming over.
He's a
little
Thomas.
Older. Right. He's getting up there in age.
I agree that tight end and D tackle are both needs. If you're going into the draft and you have Peyton Manning, who, in order to figure out, when you have to use carbon dating to figure out how old your quarterback is, you need to draft another one. And I know they think Brock Osweiler is the answer. I just have no reason or no way I can believe that. Of course, hey, everyone was fooled when this kid Phillip Rivers did something after the Chargers shipped Drew Brees for whatever reason. But Brock Osweiler as the next Phillip Rivers, I just don't see it. So they need to look at another quarterback. I don't know. Brock Osweiler, does he do it for you, Weasel?
What's that?
Does Brock Osweiler do it for you?
No, he's pretty much right now. I think he was for the Denver first round pick, or was it? It was more like second round or so.
Yeah, I don't think it was that high. I'd have to look it up at this point.
I think he's a third year, fourth year player. So, with Manning still playing, I think it's going to get to that contract thing. And you're like, you know nothing about the guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you absolutely on that. I think they're shocked Manning lasted this long. Hell, I'm shocked Manning lasted this long. There you go. Let's turn it over to the NFC, opening up with the Rams. Guys, I'm going to open this one up saying this. The team has two needs. O-line, quarterback. They're pretty damn good everywhere else. I know their receiver core is young. Tavon Austin, Stedman Bailey, some of these guys. They have the former tight end at tight end. His name is escaping me right now. Crap. No, whatever, it's because he used to be a Titan. But they look good at virtually... They look good or awesome at virtually every spot. And if anyone had defensive line as a weakness for this team, just stop it. You're fired. All right? Nick Fairley, Aaron Donald, and just a whole cast of characters. Chris Long.
Right, they're not Chris Long. They cut this year.
They did cut Chris Long?
Yeah, they cut Chris Long in the offseason. So he's
and you
gone.
Know what? Who cares? They're still good up front.
The Rams are going to send a fruit basket over to the Redskins for having them actually get some young talent a lot more than they would have had if they didn't make that trade. So,
Robert Quinn's the guy I'm forgetting to on the defensive line for the Rams.
And it was Jared Cook was the tight end you were thinking of.
Jared cook. That's yes. it. Thank you, Chris. Yeah. And then, that's a good point, Weasel, that you just made, too. I was going to give you a hard time about bringing up the Rams and the Seahawks again with the draft picks, but you did it creatively, so I'm cool with that.
It's true.
Just saying. Kyle. Well, I got to hate. Chris.
Yeah, there. I mean, right, running back, they got Zach Stacy, who had a decent year. I mean, he's second year out of Vanderbilt now, too, with him there. But, yeah, they need no line. They need to protect the quarterback. They haven't protected their quarterback the last 3 years. I mean, Sam Bradford has been hurt. So they got Nick Foles coming in, who's been injuries prior as well.
Well, here's the thing: the saying goes that if you don't have one, if you have more than one quarterback, you don't have one quarterback. And then look at that roster: it's Case Keenum, it's Nick Foles, and it's the guy who started a few games last year. His name's escaping me. That's how good he was. But the point is, I think the biggest thing is quarterback, and it's accented in this division because if you make mistakes, these defenses will score on you with it, and I think that's exactly what's been the problem.
It was Jake Long that was cut, the offensive lineman, not Chris Long, the defensive end, so they still got Chris Long.
Yeah, okay.
His brother was cut.
Yeah, okay, good. I thought you said, oh, yeah, but yeah.
I remember Long was cut, so I thought Jake Long was still with yeah, so they just brought him over from the Dolphins a few years ago.
2 years
Jake Long,
ago,
right.
And then Scott Wells, our center, is also gone as well, which is why O-line is a need. It was a need before. It's an even bigger need now. I'm going to leave that at that. Cardinals, Chris.
They need a running game.
good answer.
You know, they had Andre Ellington. You know, he showed promise last year. Once he got injured, they had no running game after that. Carson Palmer, I don't know, is the answer there, quarterback either, so that could be another issue. So also with offensive line then. Defense is pretty good. They did lose Dockett.
Darnell Dockett.
Right.
Yes.
So they did lose Dockett, but I mean they still got a good defense coming back. So I'd say offensive side of the ball. They got good receivers. Larry Fitzgerald is turning into a possession receiver now when they have I can't think of the guy's name, the rookie from last year.
John Brown.
John Brown, and then also...
Michael Floyd.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, those are all good guys. I didn't see if he was moved yet or not. I don't see him as a departure here, but I believe John Carlson is still a factor on that squad. Not that he's a great tight end, but around those receivers, that's a good enough factor. I'm going to leave that at that. To account for the departure of... Darnell Dockett. They got Corey Redding. I like that pickup a lot. Their D-line is good. I'd like to see an improvement at the defensive tackle spot to account for Dockett's departure. I'm with you there. I put quarterback as the lowest need, but they do need to do something. I don't have any reason to believe Carson Palmer will make it through the rest of a 16-game season. And offensive tackle is the biggest need for the Cards, in my opinion. Weasel.
All right, pretty simple way for the Cardinals to address their running back situation. Adrian Peterson. You have Larry Fitzgerald, who said that he would be like a game changer and great for any whatever team he goes to. But they're offering supposedly a second round pick for Peterson, but they should throw a first round pick at him and maybe like a player. But if they get him, think about it. You got a wide receiver core. You got, I think, Carson Palmer maybe will be back.
I mean, that could be argued to be a balanced group.
Yeah.
And you know, somebody who is an aging quarterback. Was an injury prone, but was an aging quarterback and made it pretty damn far as a balanced offense thanks to Adrian Peterson, won Brett Favre as a Viking.
Yeah.
There you go. I actually mentioned Brett Favre in a positive light. That is how you know I'm a versatile show talent. I'm just saying. Anyways, this one's going to hurt. The 49ers.
Where to start?
I mean, you ain't even lying, dude. I mean, you know, you as a Vikings fan shouldn't be running your mouth here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just joking, dude. But no, I mean, look, you ain't far off. First of all, re-signing Blaine Gabbert. Just stop it. All right? I know he's just a backup, but come on. Really? Really? This? No. Okay. They did get Darnell Dockett. I like that they picked up former Bill guard Eric Pierce. Pairs, rather. But they still need guards. I would like to see them get a new center. Vernon Davis is aging. They need another tight end. Their tackles are aging. They can draft for that. I mean, they got Anthony Davis, who's a five-year man. Jonathan Martin is not the answer. Their DBs, I'm just not confident, specifically their corners. And their defensive tackle spot, other than Tony Girardi, is useless. Notice I didn't put linebacker there, because even with the departure of Patrick Willis, the retirement of Chris Borland, which we're going to get into that separately in a second, and then Dan Scuta going to the Jags, they're still a pretty deep linebacker core. That's ridiculous to me. But I'd like to see a defensive tackle improvement as well. I have specifically six separate positions of need for the Cardinals, or for the Niners, and one of them even is at quarterback, because they need an answer to either back up or replace Cap if they aren't happy with Chris.
Yeah, everything you said right there, offensive line, you know, where they lost Mike Iupati.
That's
the Cards. So that's big right there.
And at first step in giving the Cards the running game, you kind of think.
Right.
Too,
so, you know, offensive line, I can see. They did get Torrey Smith as well and Reggie Bush.
Huge.
Come in, because they did lose Frank Gore.
Huge.
And Frank Gore, what was it, 8,000 yards in his 11 seasons or something like that, 10 out of 11 or something like that.
Something
like ridiculous.
That, yeah.
So, I mean, you have big, you know, hopefully the rookie from last year running back. With Reggie Bush, because he's the power there.
Well, okay, so you got Carlos Hyde, you got Reggie Bush, and Kendall Hunter now won't have any problem seeing the field anymore. I think that's part of the reason why they got rid of Frank Gore, is that core is still amazing.
Right.
Period. The only thing that's going to slow down... See, here's the problem. The Niners' run game will struggle because of the lack of interior linemen, specifically Iupati, and not the guys carrying the damn football. And it's going to get misanalyzed because people only pay attention to skill positions, unless they're on this show. I'm just saying. Anyways, enough about that bitter. Let's wrap up with the should-be world champions, because Pete Carroll. Seahawks. Okay. Who else had wide receiver as the main need here?
Yeah, I got it.
I'm just saying. This one, if you didn't put center with the departure of
Matt Flacco, I got that as well.
Which I knew you would, yeah. But something else I put is running back. But let me tell you why. Marshawn Lynch is having back issues, was talking about retirement in the offseason, and then decided to come back. The way he runs the football, just through physics alone, is going to have a limitation on his football life. They need more guys worthwhile to get in there. Turbin is not going to do it. Christine is not going to do it. You need good core of running back support. I would have liked to see them get LaMichael James, for example, to change it up from Lynch, but the Dolphins took care of that. So that's where I'm at. Chris.
Yeah, I agree 100% with the center and, you know, running back there. I expected Marshawn Lynch to get hurt last year.
Yeah.
I actually called that in, like, the playoffs and getting hurt, and just teams just fumble after that. So, I mean, still could happen. If it happens this year, they're not going to be as good without him, especially without a wide receiver. They don't have to worry about it. Any corner in the league can cover their receivers one-on-one, so they don't have to worry about it, especially except for Jimmy Graham. So they have to double-team that, which makes their receivers a little more interesting now, because they are going to be out there on island. So if they can draft a receiver this year, then, you know,
well,
get one somewhere else.
We've shown two things with Jimmy Grant, is that he's comparatively soft for a tight end. It's just true. I'm sorry. No offense. But also what happens when Jimmy Grant is the only guy on the football field. The Saints didn't produce when Colston and Brandon Cooks were hurt at the same time. And this is the same situation here. It's just not injuries. It's just that they suck. I'm sorry. It's harsh, but it's rough. Can you front on that, Weasel?
Can't front on that.
I didn't think so. So, I don't know. At the end of the day, when it comes to a day I never thought I'd see, is the team most set for receivers right now in this division is the 49ers. How do you beat Torrey Smith, Anquan Boldin, and flipping Jerome Simpson as your trio? That's pretty badass. So,
and they still got Vernon Davis, who's still decent.
Oh, yeah. And even though he's aging, Vernon Davis is at least a decent option. I can't find it. Yeah. There you go. So, I don't know. That'll do it for Team Needs Out West, and it'll also do it for this edition of The Student of the Game. Good times all the way around. First set of teen needs. I think we'll do the East next week. Maybe. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
East sounds good. There you go. I want. We can't really do the North until people decide what's going on with Adrian Peterson. Let's be real.
His agent, I think, is a jerk.
Well, it ain't just his agent, but also the team has said they don't plan to release him. Yeah. Now, you and I both know that's a smokescreen, but...
Well, no, you're not... It's duh, that's what that is.
Duh! Come on, Cal! What's wrong with you? That's TRBL.
It's just... Anyways. The only thing is that it just kicks me off that they're, like, saying that, like, Adrian Peterson, he's not happy with how the Vikings are treating him and stuff, and it's like, dude, you almost went to jail.
He's got bigger problems than how the franchise is treating him.
I was like, really, dude? That's getting me upset, but... watch out. Cowboys, not so much right now. Cardinals.
Ooh. Weasel recanting on his theory. Very interesting.
Cardinals are number most likely
where to go. And I think
you're
squarely blaming the signing of McFadden on that occurrence. And I don't blame you. I think that's sound logic. With that, you can always check out the website, ngscsports.com. Of course, you can find Weasel on Twitter at at Weasel, the SOTG. You find Chris on Twitter at Hydraulic Uprights. I mean, damn it. I mean, at Rankin, the SOTG. Of course, you can find me, Kyle Nash, the student of the game, at the SOTG on Twitter. Good times all the way around. Silly band names, awesome Twitter handles, and so much more from this show. Booyah. Have a good week. See everybody next time. Until then, class dismissed.